You're listening to The Music Show on RN. Time to welcome back to The Music Show the composer Elena Katschernin. She has a brand new opera happening this week, and you can all go because it's on the telly. It's written for television, to be precise, and we're going to hear a little bit of it now before we talk to Elena. The opera is called The Divorce.
To stay, to leave, to reach, to be loyal, the cavalier, or free, itinerant,
itinerant,
on the move, to treasure what we hold where we are anchored,
or claim what we glimpse on other seas,
distant at last
of other ships,
the sea just out of view. The currents pushing us one way.
Those were the voices of Kate Miller-Heidke and Marina Pryor, and they were singing a duet, Other Ships, from The Divorce, which is a TV opera by Elena Katschernin. And Elena, welcome back to The Music Show.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
Let's talk about this piece, which I've enjoyed very much. The first thing I suppose I would say about it is that, you know, in the pantheon of TV operas, which is not a very big pantheon, I mean, it includes pieces like Stravinsky's The Flood and Amal and The Night Visitors and Peter Sculthorpe's Kyros, but your piece is a distinctly unoperatic opera.
Yes, it depends on point of view.
Yeah.
They do break into song pretty much throughout the whole show. There is a little bit of spoken word, but that's also quite typical of the opera. I've seen lots of operas with spoken word here and there.
Well, the magic flute, for a start.
Exactly. It is hard to define the genre of this piece. It probably moves between music theatre, opera, of course. There are operatic or opera-like sung materials. They're very much over the top sung words here and there to show, you know, a certain emotion or certain anguish or certain fun or certain exultation. There is a quite operatically written score.
Yes, and when I said unoperatic, I suppose I was thinking primarily of the voices. And it's always seemed to me to be a bit of a problem with TV opera, that when you hear opera singers singing as though they're in a theatre, but you see them on a small screen. And I think one of the things that The Divorce overcomes very successfully is that problem, because the singing is much more intimate and much less, quote-unquote, operatic than usual for an opera.
Exactly, and you want to understand the words clearly, and yet you don't want them to be declaimed, you know, like to be spoken overly clearly. So you want them to actually act the role with kind of slightly taken back voice. You know, it's probably clearer meaning of what they're saying and what they're singing, rather than a hugely big operatic voice, which would fill the TV box, I guess, and it would be probably too massive for those little loudspeakers that some people might have, not everyone. Yes, so you're completely right. There is a lot of, let's say, close-up shots in the film or in the show, and if you hear, you know, really operatically sung, you know, with much vibrato. It's not something you want to see close up, you know.
Also, opera singers often, in order to produce, you know, the most beautiful operatic sound they can, they don't look very nice when they're doing it, and so you don't necessarily want to see them in close up anyway.
Well, yeah, it's not necessarily an attractive sight, and it's the way the divorce was done. I thought it was just brilliant, and the cast that was chosen is just a dream.
The cast is very good because the acting is so convincing, and again, I mean, you can get away with staginess on stage, but you can't do that on television with close-ups, and the acting is completely convincing.
Well, there is, you know, every eye movement, every kind of certain, you know, glances that the characters send to each other, or the gestures that, you know, you see every single cast member does something amazing, and you say, how did they do that? They just flick their eyes, like, you know, Melissa does it at one point. And we have different characters. We have 8 main characters and a few. And then, of course, we have a chorus, which is the whole party that's happening. Quite a lot of people there.
There's a lot of people, yes. The basic conceit is that it's a divorce party, that a couple are becoming amicably divorced and invite all of their friends. And you can almost sort of predict what's going to happen. In fact, I did predict what was going to happen in the first 10 minutes because because there are certain models for this in something like, well, A Little Night Music actually was the first piece that came to mind, but going right back to The Marriage of Figaro.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. It's not necessarily a very unusual situation. And divorce parties are popular things today. People do that, actually, in real life. So that's the premise of the whole show, of course, that they are kind of just got tired of each other and they kind of liked each other. And they, you know, there was a mutual love there. And they obviously have a lot of friends, which is also nice. And they're having a good time, I think. And lots of things happen, and that's the whole fun. I think that to see all sorts of characters kind of unfold and kind of go over the top, which is really brilliant because that's what I like. I like when the show is not kind of your normal situation, but some absurd things happen. And of course, it's absurd to start singing suddenly, you know, out of nowhere.
But it works because we're not giving too much away if we say that to begin with, the characters are speaking to each other. And I suppose that's the equivalent of recitative. There's no recitative, actual recitative in your piece. But that's replaced by actual speech. And when they go into song, it does seem natural.
Yes, it does. And occasionally, actually, to be quite exact, there is a little recitative here and there. And we were sometimes playing around with that. Like, I wrote recitative, we tried it and then decided, no, it's better spoken.
Yeah.
And then, but then some of recitative actually did stay.
So, yes, so you're
right. There is a little bit of that, but not much, not very much at all. I'm actually not a person who is fond of recitative, you know. I always try to place a melody everywhere. And of course, if you saturate text with too much melody, it takes away from the meaning of what they're saying. So recitative does have a big purpose, you know, to make something understood, because you speak in a kind of less rhythmic way and, you know, less melodic way and more like an emotion, you know, and it does make things more understandable.
You're listening to The Music Show on RN. I'm talking to the composer Elena Katschernin about her TV opera, The Divorce, which starts tomorrow night on ABC TV, in 4 parts, which is, I like that aspect of it very much, that it's not one continuous piece. It's actually being presented as though it was a regular TV drama or TV comedy, because it's both of those things. And did you have to write with that in mind? Did you write it in episodes?
Absolutely. We had a lot of discussions. So I'm just talking, that is Joanna Murray Smith, the librettist.
Yes, who I should have mentioned.
Yes, and then there's, of course, director Dean Murphy. There's producer Andrea Denholm, that's from Princess Pictures. Linda Duracini from Opera Australia. You know, we were all often in the same room and discussing a lot of how it could be and, you know, which episode, which will have which scenes. Because, yes, the things were moved around a lot, actually. And I think the part for me was sometimes difficult to know, will this song come after that song? Because you, as a composer, you place certain kind of rhythm decisions on based on the order of how they are placed in the piece. So when that order changes, dynamic of the whole kind of structure changes. You know, you don't want two pieces which are similar next to each other, for example. You know, I would have then write them differently. But I was lucky that that didn't happen. Mm. But it could have happened because it was a very much a movable beast. You know, for a few years, you know, one episode would be maybe sometimes longer than the other. So things had to be kind of also adjusted, because that's the thing about TV and the shows. You have that length and you can't move that. That is the length of the show. And it cannot be longer or shorter, you know.
But you got one of the ways you got variety, musical variety, into the piece was because the virtually everything happens at a party. There is party music, and so you get to play with tango and bossa nova and trance music and all sorts of other kind of music that you might hear at a party. And some of it's background, and some of it actually is sung to.
It's a really interesting juxtaposition, and the whole time we didn't know how it's going to work. You know, it's such an unknown for all of us, and every one of us was thinking, "Oh no, how are we going to do this?" And then we decided that all the songs have to be there first. You know, that's the main thing, and then the background music can be, you know, made by the jazz band, and they're there the whole time, you know, at the party, and they kind of play with the material that's the songs, you know. So that's created kind of on top of the, you know, all the other happening that you see, and in bits and pieces, and that's it's so fast moving. That's even, you know, when I saw it for the first time, I thought, oh my god, that's so fast. Everything is just so quickly over. It's actually really fun to watch.
I remember years ago on this program, Paul Grabowski referring to the composer Richard Mills as a man of the theatre. Are you a woman of the theatre when as a composer?
Oh, I don't know what that term means.
Well, I mean, do you think in a sense most of your music has a theatrical or at least a dramatic purpose?
Well, I like to have a meaning in everything I write. So sometimes the meaning, of course, changes from piece to piece. And in this particular case, of course, in Divorce, the meaning is decided by the text I'm setting. And not only that, it's decided by the character who is singing that text. You know, for example, if it was sung by the PA of Iris, our main character, the PA is Kate Miller-Heidke, who plays Caroline. And when she sings a particular text, she sings it in a certain kind of nervous manner, because she is in a little bit of a trouble, and she is, while on the surface, very efficient and very disciplined and very kind of in control, inside her, there is all this kind of fear, and the music had to kind of represent that.
Yes.
Whereas Iris, who is getting divorced, she's much more very, very assured of herself, you know, and she is a very elegant woman, very sophisticated, and also gives advice to others. And Marina Pryor is playing Iris, and it's just beautiful to watch. And of course, for her, I wrote certain kinds, sometimes cantilena and sometimes Well, as a matter of fact, Other Ships is a song that Iris and Caroline sing together, you know, talking about other ships out there, you know, that are open on the horizons and in the future. And there is no guide, no map to know where that's going to be.
But the flute concerto, for instance, which I referred to yesterday, which was written for the Darwin Symphony Orchestra and Sally Walker, of course, and which had its second performance in Melbourne last night. I mean, there, when you've got a piece for orchestra and soloist on a stage with no light, no theatre lighting and no costumes and no obvious story, is it still in a way dramatic? I mean, it's got a title, Night and Now.
Yes, it's about me loving the fairy stories and the dark ones, you know, which I grew up with, and imagining the first movement is unusually slow and solemn, and it's dark, and it's like being in a forest with the trees that start moving, and, you know, imagining different characters that come out of the woodwork. And, you know, then it sort of brightens up in the second and third movements. And it has something of Baroque almost, because in the second movement I have a canon going between flute and xylophone and flute and cello. And it sort of takes on this kind of bright color. And it's kind of more today, you know, the world of, let's say, the night and then when you're awake, you know, that's kind of Night and Now.
So the stories are always there, aren't they?
Yeah, that helps me write, to be honest. Yeah. That is something that I really need. If I have just an abstract piece of music to write, I still find some kind of meaning to it, even if later I don't talk about it. But it's important to me because it just gives me the purpose of placing a material of some kind in a particular spot. And I have to be able to say that's why I did it.
And we haven't got time now to talk about your concerto for eight double basses, which has been commissioned by the Australian World Orchestra, called The Witching Hour. But I'll just leave that title hanging in the air, because it seems to me that if that's not the title of a story, nothing is. Elena, thank you very much for being my guest on The Music Show. It's been very nice to catch up. And congratulations on the divorce, which viewers, or our listeners, can be viewers tomorrow night on ABC TV and watch the first episode of Elena Katchernin and Joanna Murray Smith's opera for TV, The Divorce. Thanks, Elena.
Thank you very much, Andy.
You're listening to The Music Show on RN.